The Final Compliance of 6314 by Guy Haley, read by John Banks.
The Emperor has lied to you.
The War Master's voice sounded from every public address system, Voxhorn and comms device on the planet. His face spoke from the giant screens on the sides of starscrapers in place of exhortations and announcements. Rich with reason, mellifluous and persuasive, Horus addressed the world of Guggen, once known to him as 6314.
I request your fealty. We bring no rebellion against righteous authority, but make a stand against a tyrant who cares only for himself. Join with us. You have been deceived. Throw down your arms and follow me as a peacemaker upon the path of truth. Pledge yourselves to our cause and be free of the great deception. The imperial truth is a rank falsehood. The Emperor has lied to you.
Planetary Governor Mader Oquin glanced from his cabinets of trophies to his adjutant, Atan Spall.
Is there no way of turning that damned racket off?
No, sir, I'm afraid not, said Spall regretfully.
Still, he called him sir, even 36 years after the compliance. There were some habits you could not leave behind.
A pity, muttered Oquin.
He stood tall despite his age, with his wrinkled hands clasped behind his back. His uniform. He still wore his Imperial Army dress uniform when acting in an official capacity, exhibited all the hallmarks of a military man's habitual neatness, as did his moustache, still black, and his otherwise unruly shock of white hair, which he battled into submission daily. The gallery was intensely lit, full of mirrors, with light-coloured walls and gleaming floors of marble, so that the objects within the cabinets might be fully appreciated. Such illumination would make even the smartest man look shabby, but not Oquin. Instead, it highlighted his immaculate appearance. Age had garlanded him with wisdom, not frailty. His voice, gruffer than it had once been, was nevertheless still strong and commanding.
What to take, what to take, he murmured.
Sir? Asked Spall.
Every word Oquin spoke sounded like an order and demanded a response whether he desired it or not.
Hmm? Oh, I intend to take something with me, perhaps as a gift for our visitors, something to remind them of our shared history.
Is that really necessary, sir? Only we should give them an answer soon.
Oh, it is, Paul. Very necessary.
The governor let his eyes wander over his collection. Items taken from a dozen worlds. Relics from long-dead civilizations sat beside artifacts from societies incorporated into the Imperium. The blackened mementos of those who had resisted.
The Imperial truth is a rank falsehood, the War Master's voice repeated.
Oquin examined them all, carefully displayed in their crystal glass cabinets. They were his pride and joy. An austere man, such as he, had little use for trinkets or adornments. The decoration of the palace was the work of his subjects, not to his taste at all. The collection was Oquin's only indulgence, memories of a life given gladly in service to a higher ideal.
Lest I forget, he always said.
Spall had heard it many times, and he knew exactly what Oquin meant. The governor pointed to a stone mask, a long, oval, grotesque of exaggerated lips and fangs, and wide, staring eyes carved from glossy carnelian.
That one, I think, is my favorite.
Sir? Asked Spall.
The Bathranin war mask,
Oquin explained, although Spall knew perfectly well what it was.
Before your time, Spall. Tribesmen of 63-3.
Spall was getting nervous. He pressed a finger to the vox bead in his ear and listened.
Sir, the delegation is growing impatient, as is the Prime Minister. The Council insists on knowing what you are going to tell the War Master before you leave. I shall not tell you to hurry, sir, because it's not my place.
Not for any aesthetic reason, you understand,
Oquin interrupted, ignoring Spall's concerns.
For I'm sure you can see as well as I that it is a damnably ugly thing.
He shook his head and smiled.
You should have seen them. Thousands all arrayed against us, voices booming behind the stone. Can you imagine it? Terrifying in its way. That was my second compliance after my own world joined the great dream of the Imperium.
He snorted, as if at some private joke.
I was a common foot soldier. No idea what to expect, even having met the legions and seen their primarchs, even given the wondrous weapons of terror. It took a while to get over the shock of it. Primitives painted in red mud, riding those beasts of theirs. Hopeless, really. For all that display, they had no chance. The Bathranin were brave and proud, and they would not give up. And so we slaughtered them. Bloody work. Sad in its way. They were savages after all, and knew no better.
Oquin cast his eyes ceilingwards, as if he could see through the plaster mouldings to the lights of the warfleet in the sky.
The unity of mankind. Neither innocence nor bravery is protection against such a vaunted cause.
Spall cleared his throat.
Sir, I do not mean to chivy you, but we have to give an answer. They've been outside for a quarter of an hour.
They can bloody well wait 5 more minutes, then,
shouted Oquin.
This is my world, given to me to rule by Horus himself.
His hand snapped up into the air and back, as if he battered a fly away from his ear.
If he wants our pledge of loyalty so badly, he could have come down here and not sent his lackeys. I am not an old man who has forgotten what has been asked of him. I am a commander of a planet of the Imperium. Is that clear, Spall?
Crystal clear, sir.
Very good,
said Oquin, calming himself.
And turn your vox bead off. I have.
A wing of heavy gunships flew low over the governor's palace, momentarily drowning out Horus's echoing address. The vibration caused the collection of trophies to tremble, tinkling across the glass shelves. Oquin tuttered and smoothed his jacket. The threat to go with the promise. Always the way. Last time Oquin had checked, there were 14 warships in orbit. That was threat enough. Beyond the ancient veterans that had settled there, 6314 had precious little of a standing army. No fleet, few orbitals. Horus had grown unsubtle, heavy-handed. He looked next to a dress of silver mail from 636, a garment made of tiny rings of precious metals linked together most cunningly. Not armor, but a fashion in the capital at the time of the compliance. He had liked his wife in it. She was gone now. Disease. Peril did not cease with war's end. Building a world brought its own troubles. It was a blessing that she did not have to see this day.
Beautiful,
he said at the memory. Spall followed his master's eyes.
Yes, sir,
he agreed. Oquin nodded. Spall had been with him since 63-6, first as a sergeant, then his lieutenant, then a captain, and so on, following him up through the ranks, always one step behind. Oquin could not say he liked Spall. The two could never be friends, but Spall was dependable. That was why Oquin had been such a good leader. He could see past personal likes and dislikes to the real quality of the man beneath. He still liked to think that he was respected for it. He was not mistaken. Next to the silver mail were tech armlets from 6310, deactivated and inert, of course. Oquin had made sure of it personally. By the armlets were worn pieces of metal dug from the forest loams of the barely inhabited worlds beyond 6313. The metal was covered in hieroglyphs that remained undecipherable. The mystery of their provenance was intriguing, but their real interest was that once a year, on the very same day, according to the solar cycle of their world of origin, the markings would flow and change.
Fascinating,
said Oquin, taking a sideways step.
Absolutely fascinating.
Displayed now in front of him on a long, purpose-built rack were a host of artifacts of common design, glass, metalwork, and technological devices that, if simple, were still beautifully fashioned.
63-7, he said,
tapping the glass. He smiled.
I was less discriminating in my choices then. The personal storage I received seemed so capacious after my lieutenant's quarters. Do you remember? It was there that they made me a captain.
He had been proud that day, and still was.
Such nights! Such joy! After the initial battles, the common people welcomed us with open arms. They were the sensible ones.
Yes, sir, said Spall. I remember.
He was becoming less anxious, being drawn into the former Lord Commander's nostalgia.
The flowers, and the pools.
And the women, eh?
Oquin added with a smile.
I thought it impolite to comment, sir.
Oquin laughed. He bent low to inspect a set of clay fertility figures bartered on 63-4.
We are old, he said.
Yes, sir.
Do not think that I grumble, said Oquin, standing ramrod straight again. More than a century of life is far better than I expected, and such a century it has been. I always wondered when I was a boy what it was like up there in the void. Did you?
Yes, sir, Spall replied. Every night, sir.
Oquin nodded at his aid. Of course, his expression said. Of course you did.
Up there, wherever he is, I'll bet Horus has not aged a day. Such insects we must seem to him, our lives as fleeting as summer days. It can't be healthy. Men were not meant to last forever, not even men like him.
Sir?
Asked Spall cautiously.
This is what occurs when the mighty are immortal, Spall. Inevitable, I suppose. Ambition is poison to loyalty in the end.
Sir.
Oquin tapped his upper lip with an extended forefinger.
No, he said decisively. Sometimes the singing rocks of 63-9 are my favorite, but today the Bathranin have it.
Are you taking that then, sir?
Oquin stopped before the central items of his collection. In a case as tall as a man, with the governor's arms and armor lovingly maintained. A bronze-colored cuirass with attached folds and spaulders, and a helm crowned with the laurels of a conqueror were displayed on an armature, as if worn by an invisible warrior. On an ornate wooden stand in front were a las pistol, a Volkite culverin, given to him by the Mechanicum component of the 63rd Expedition after the battle for 63-11, and a power sword. The holsters and scabbard were upon a belt girdling the placard of the cuirass. Oquin passed his hand over the hidden locking mechanism.
Not today, Spall. I will greet them as I left them, as a hero of the Imperium. Help me into this, would you?
Sir, I...
Don't just stand there, dithering man. Help me. The armor is heavy and I am not getting any younger.
Spall hesitantly joined his commander. Together they brought down the armor and placed it over the governor's head, and Spall tightened its fastenings. Oquin smiled fiercely.
It is damned heavy. A lot heavier than I recall. I am weaker, I expect, but...
He admired himself in one of the room's many mirrors.
It still fits.
Spall handed him his helm, and Oquin slid it carefully on. He turned right and left.
Ha ha! If I squint, I'm still the crusader I was 40 years ago. Dashing, eh, Spall?
Yes, sir.
Hand me my gloves and my weapons. Just the pistol and the sword, if you would.
Spall did as requested. Oquin looked the blade up and down, wonder upon his lined face, as though it were the first time he had held it. Spall stood back, his stomach knotted with anxiety. As he had feared, Oquin did not sheath his sword or holster his pistol. Instead, he stroked the activation stud on the gun, and green lights tracked up its charge indicator. The sword's disruption field hissed into life, the air crackling faintly around it, generating a smell of ozone.
"Sir, what are you going to tell them?"
Oquin stared levelly at him.
"The Emperor has lied to you,"
Horus's smooth, recorded voice was still saying, the voice of peace.
"I request your fealty."
"Loyalty, Spall. I fought for the War Master. He elevated me. He trusted me. And I loved him. But my loyalty is to the Emperor. The Imperial truth is the only truth."
Slowly, Spall unholstered his las pistol. The scrape of metal on the leather as he pulled it out seemed monstrously loud, louder even than Horus's cycling message. He raised the gun with a shaking hand to point at his master. Tears ran freely down his face. Oquin did nothing to stop him.
"Please, sir, they'll kill us all,"
he said. His voice cracked.
"Yes, I expect they will."
Oquin smiled sadly.
"A harsh reaction when refusal is given, but far from abnormal in a compliance action. That's what this is, a compliance for the War Master's new Imperium."
Oquin deliberately turned his back on Spall.
"But as I learned when I took part in the slaughter of the Bathranin, Spall, some things are worth more than life. Perhaps worth more than the life of an entire world. Now, I am going to walk out of that door and give them my answer. Feel free to shoot me in the back. I am confident you won't. Not if you remember even dimly what we were fighting for."
Oquin strode down the gallery, his bearing proud. Spall made a strangled noise in his throat. He kept his gun trained on the governor the whole way. The weapon wavered, his aim blurred by tears. He couldn't do it. Maeda Oquin disappeared through the doors. Spall was still staring dumbly at his weapon when the din of bolt gun fire echoed up the palace halls. 6314 had replied. That was The Final Compliance of 6314 by Guy Haley, read by John Banks.